Ever thought about Botox but worried you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on another big weekend across Scottish football. Rangers beat Motherwell, but boos ring out at full time with the Ibrox crowd less than impressed with the performance. Celtic stay 4 points clear after a comfortable 3-0 win at Livy despite being down to 10 men. There are teams in between, no big wins for Aberdeen, St Mirren in there, as winless St Johnstone stay bottom. And I'm joined tonight by Kenny Miller and Roger Hannah.
Well, Gordon, you've heard of an off day. We just had an off weekend. Joe Hart and Derek McInnes sent off. Rangers and Hearts booed off. Aberdeen and Hibs finally off and running. And Livingston sold off. It's usually where we don't get a bank holiday Monday off.
And then every time someone phones Hugh Keevans, they want to tell him to as well. It's unbelievable. He's not even here and he's getting a hard time. Kenny Miller, another big weekend. No shortage of talking points and drama.
Absolutely not. I mean, again, was that Ibrox yesterday? Wasn't good listing at the end of the game. Understandably why it wasn't a good performance. But Saturday, huge win. Big performance for St Mirren just to continue their fantastic start to the season. And like Roger says, what a win it is for Barry Robson to get the season off and running. And Nick McCumbery gets his first win as well as a Hibs manager. So it's it tightens the league up a little bit, but it is concerning for St Johnstone to be six games deep with no win.
Come on down then. I like Monday night. Just get to reflect, look back on it all. Of course, it's a big week. It's League Cup quarter final week. But before we even get to that, we have to digest what's going on in the last couple of days. We do that with you, of course, on 0141951105. So let us know what you made of it. If we are starting yesterday and working our way back, Rangers fans win the game, keep a clean sheet, but the team gets booed off at the end. There must be a good reason for it. So tell me why. Kenny Miller was there, so he'll know what you're on about. But phone in and educate Roger Hannah and myself. What was the deal? Why was it so bad? What did you make of the performance? Who's not impressing you? All the big questions surrounding a win, like we said yesterday, but a negative response. Celtic fans, you've been looking for a bit of a statement result in the league. Did that come in the form of a win away at Livingston? Because you were down to 10 men, it's supposed to be a tough place to come, very comfortable in the end. How do you look back on that? St Mirren fans, are you starting to hear that Champions League music already? Or are we getting carried away? And anyone else out there, pick up that phone, 0141 951 1025. Kenny and Roger will whet your appetite with your result of the weekend. Take it away.
Well, I'm going to go for Celtic at Livingston. I was driving through to Easter Road to do the Hibs game for Super Scoreboard on Saturday, and as you can imagine, Hugh Keevans was talking, Lyndon Dykes and Christopher Julian and Andrew Shinney and Ange Postecoglou and all the trouble that can befall Celtic on that plastic pitch at Livingston, talking about Brendan Rodgers' pre-match words that Celtic could take on 11 journalists and find it difficult on that pitch. Well, they didn't find it particularly difficult with 10 men, even after Joe Hart was sent off. So I think the way they closed the game out, with all the problems that, you know, they could have faced them, I think it deserves it.
Okay, result of the weekend for you, Kenny?
Yep, just before I go, my wife just texts me to say my wee boy's in the car and wants a shout out because he's listening. He thinks it's the GB experience and not the Super Scoreboard. So Blake's listening, so
bits and pieces is coming up next in 5 minutes.
I'm going to go Aberdeen.
This is the GDX, the Gordon Duncan experience.
There's a thing you never thought you would hear. Aberdeen, just
Aberdeen, because I think it was absolutely required. I mean, they came away on Thursday night with positives after a really, well, what could have been a really tough night in Frankfurt, and that was an outstanding, massive, massive win. Strong performance and a lot of goals.
Okay, goal of the weekend then. Who are we going for, Kenny?
I'm going to go for that last kick of the ball, which done my prediction at Livingston. Maeda's finish. I mean, he had a couple of opportunities that he probably should have scored before, but that kind of chopped back onto the left foot, put into the top corner. Wonderful way to end the game for him, which was a really strong performance with him.
And after running 43 miles as well, it's just impressive.
Set a new world record for the amount of kilometres covered in a game.
Roger?
Well, I've just passed Callum Gallagher in the other studio at Clyde Towers.
Uh-huh.
But the other Callum Gallagher,
the Airdrie one,
the Airdrie one, deserves it. And I noticed it in social media on Saturday night. I wondered how a goal clip was going to last about a minute and a half, Gordon. And it's something like 25, 26 passes.
Brilliant.
Almost every Airdrie player gets a touch. Quickly into the box. Terrific finish by Callum Gallagher, and they beat the leaders, Raith Rovers.
See, who says it's all about the big two or the top flight? And here, Airdrie getting the goal of the week. Go on then, let's bring it down with the tone howler of the weekend.
Well, we have to go for Derek McInnes, don't we? I mean, how many times...
The ball was out, surely.
How many times have we seen a manager sent off for booting the ball on the pitch?
I'm gonna say none. I don't remember it.
You could, to be fair to Derek,
was he hard done by? Was the ball out of play?
He was trying to break a counter attack up all day long.
His reaction was one of astonishment mixed with embarrassment. Whether it wasn't in, he probably shouldn't have put his foot through it. And it's a red card.
Tell you what, the rest of the lively weekend, you can only pick one.
Listen, it has to be. I can't be here on a Monday night and not pick the howler to be a refereeing decision. And the man wrong goal against Hearts. It was
disallowed goal.
Unbelievable. Like, I don't even know what he's done wrong. I mean, I thought the Dessers one against the Celtic was bad, but this is horrific. He just runs through, puts a little bit of pressure, the Hearts player falls down, and it's a wonderful finish by a really tight angle. And ruled out. I think it was at the third goal that was actually ruled out on the day.
What a day the lad Frankie Kent had. I mean, he got away with that. Quite what he's doing. I mean, he's watching the first goal go in, or the only goal as it turned out to go in.
Honourable mentions for Dundee's red card. Was that the correct decision?
I think that was a poor decision also. And the fact that he was called to the screen and then stood strong, even his mates in the VAR studio think it was a harsh decision. So I think Mulligan and Dundee can feel very hard done by.
Dundee have appealed it today. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
I always think that's a different question, isn't it? Anyway, we'll maybe get to that later on. And top man of the weekend,
I'm going Miofsky. I think in that game, to pop up with a couple of big goals, and again, that's him only 4 league goals for the season already as well. So his team's been toiling, but he's kind of maintained a decent level of form at the start of the season. So again, coupled with that big result, 2 goals, man of the weekend for me.
I'm going for 3.
3 men?
Just about.
All right.
Rory Whittaker, age 16, Hibs' youngest ever player. Fran Franzak, age 16, St Johnson's youngest ever player.
Both just 16 as well.
Yep, Bailey Rice, still 16, on for Rangers yesterday. If you put the 3 of them together, Gordon, they're still younger than me.
There's a depressing thought. 01419511025, let's go. Mark is a Rangers fan. Talk to me, Mark. Where are you with your team at the moment?
Don't start. If I tell you where I am, I'll end up on antidepressants.
Right, well...
I'm already on them. This is a joke for anyone that's listening.
Right, okay.
Right, anyway, the situation at Ibrox on the park, not off it. Off it, they're doing quite well, but on it is a shambles. The level of vitriol now to, I think, Michael Beale, you guys are in the media, is actually worse than Paul Le Guin and Coutinho. See if you actually listen to it, maybe because we've got more social media now. But it's now got to the stage where horrendous vitriol towards him. Personal should be kept out of it. He's clearly not going to last at Ibrox, so I think they've got to act now. There's no point in waiting. Waiting will do nothing. This is now appears to be inevitable. The supporters have made their mind up. This is the biggest thing. I honestly believe he could go and win the next 10 games and they would want him out. He could bring the League Cup. He could win every game of Europa League group stage and they want him out now.
Why is that? Because, look, our colleague Hugh Keevans has got that great phrase about defeats and draws being a catastrophe and a disaster. But this was a win. Rangers won and had a clean sheet yesterday. But I think you're possibly right about the feeling. So why is that?
It's not washing now. The football's shocking. It's shocking. And his press conferences now, unfortunately, are awful as well. He was talking the other week about the strikers. He says, well, we replaced 5 strikers. We lost 5 strikers. And he mentioned Sakala and Hadji and Colak. The 3 of them were lost down to him, not down to their contracts. He got the 3 of them out the door and replaced them with, I'm sorry, but what appears to be rubbish. So I think the signings have been awful this summer. But more importantly, Michael Beale has been there 11 months. This isn't a new manager. He's been there 11 months. In a month's time, it's a year. And the team have gone backwards. The fans want him out. And see, when your customer turns on you, fit in this level. This isn't all some want him here. Nobody. Find me a fan that wants him, that's happy. And that's, they're not a Rangers fan. I'm sorry. I can't. It's actually quite unbelievable that everybody's in agreement. So I think the board have got to act. John Bennett and Bisgrove appear to be very professional. Everything they've done since the board has changed in the last two or three months, with the museum, with sponsorships, has been really good, really promising. You know, they now talk to the fans. There's a lot to look forward to at Ibrox. But now, clearly, they need to spend the kind of money that Celtic spent on a manager that has done it before. I think that now Rangers need to up the ante. They now need to go for a professional manager that has won trophies, because despite whether we like Rodgers or not, he's a professional winner of a manager. And that's what Rangers need. There's nothing against Michael Beale personally. Not at all. Nice guy. But it's the punters have turned and they will not turn back. They could go and win the League Cup. They could win. They could beat Livingston 3-0. They could beat Aberdeen 4-0. It doesn't matter. The fans have turned. This isn't a game. So they've got to make the change. There's no point in constantly waiting until things get worse. They lose one. Imagine they draw. Imagine they get beat on Wednesday night. Can you picture the opponents on Thursday?
I think we'll need a 6-hour long show, I think. But
go on, another one of them, please.
If you just turned on, you would assume Rangers had been beaten by Motherwell at Ibrox. And that's not to say Mark's wrong. I'm just highlighting that to sort of emphasise how grim this might be for Michael Beale if wins are not enough anymore in the eyes of fans like Mark.
Well, I think the board, Mark mentioned John Bennett and James Bisgrove. I think they have shown a lot of patience. I think they gave Michael Beale a lot of money in the summer to spend on new signings, and they want to give him as long as they possibly can in the hope that the signings improve and the results turn. I do tend to think that Mark has a point, though, and I think Michael Beale is probably one defeat away from real trouble. That defeat might have come yesterday. It didn't. They won the game. Now, they weren't clever. They weren't pretty. They were booed off the pitch by their own fans, but they won the game. I think Mark's right. I think if they lose to Livingston on Wednesday night and go out the League Cup, I think Michael Beale's in real bother.
But in fairness, Kenny, they still probably won't. And yes, fine, feel free to play this back, David Martindale. I'm just talking about, on paper and the balance of things. They still probably won't. But Mark saying they've turned and they won't turn back was his line. So you were there yesterday. Yeah. Was the booing justified? What was that? Was that like to hear that at the end of a win?
It was justified based on, I think, everything that Michael even says post-match. He agrees it was a really, really poor performance. I think he was actually asked about the last 10 minutes and he actually corrected and says, no, from the first minute. From the first minute, I was not happy with the performance at all from the team. He expects better, he sees better, which is why clearly he signed the players that he signed. So he's not hiding behind any stats of 3 wins and 3 clean sheets. He's not hiding behind it. He owns that. It was a really, really poor performance. I understand what Mark's saying because it was toxic towards the end of that game. You could sense it at the end, and I've been in there as well as a player where you're only winning 1-0 against the lesser level of opposition.
Excuse me.
Sorry, because I thought they were actually outstanding Motherwell yesterday. But I've been there before and you can feel it, and I could feel it in that stand yesterday when I was there.
Where I do disagree with Mark is, if he keeps winning games, then the supporters will come back on side. If he wins the League Cup, if he wins that Europa League group and gets into Europe after Christmas again, the fans will go back behind him. What Michael Beale needs is to win a game of real importance or win a trophy, and he's done neither so far.
This is the thing, at the moment, Mark says it's no game. It actually is at this moment in time. It's what it is. It's game to game. And if Rangers fail on Wednesday or even fail to win on Saturday, then there is going to be serious discussions probably at Ibrox. But I fast forward to this December. You don't play Celtic until the end of December. I think Rangers will be in the knockout stages of the Europa League come this first week in December. The second week in December, I believe Rangers will go on and lift this League Cup in Celtic's absence not being in it.
So Michael Beale needs to get to that point.
He needs to get to that point, because at that point, and by I'm not saying this with any great confidence based on what I watched yesterday, but the reality is they're not playing well. They've still managed to beat, and by the way, potentially the third best team in the country at this moment in time in Motherwell, the way they're working under Stuart Kettlewell alongside Stephen Robinson, St Mirren. But I just think if he can get to that point, That's got to be some level of positivity. Mm. And like Roger says, to get there, he needs to keep winning.
Well, let's ask Graham, who's also on the line. Thank you to Mark. Really passionate stuff from Mark. I think we know how he feels. Graham, booing at the end of a win, is that fair? That justified? How do you feel?
I'm absolutely scummered with it, mate. Absolutely disgusted with them. They can't pass the ball. They can't control it. Their movement's shocking. And it's going right through the team. Even Tav, Goldson, Barisic. If he ever passes the ball forward, it'll be his first time. I've been going there for 60 years, mate, that next month. And that's the first time I walked out saying I'll no be back.
You sound like a young man, Graham.
Thanks very much. No,
I'll second that, yep.
October 63, mate. I went to Rangers. I'll be going every...
It's his 60th anniversary of going, Roger Hannah, and he's disgusted.
I will go back on Wednesday, but when I walked out, I was going back.
Of course you will, Graham, because you'll get back and support your team.
I mean, yesterday says he wasn't going back.
I know, but that's just a knee-jerk reaction to a really poor performance.
Roger, I'm sure Michael Beale listens intently, but if he's taking his temperature of the Rangers fans from this show, he'll know how important the next couple of games are.
Oh, listen, he's living a game-by-game existence at the minute. Mark would agree with that. Graham would agree with that. I'm sure Kenny would agree with that as well. After that week of PSV and Celtic, it has been game to game. It will continue game to game. He's one bad defeat away from being in real bother. There's no doubt about it. And yesterday, you know, Motherwell had a good team. Motherwell hadn't lost away from home, I think, since what, February, was it, Gordon? January, February time in the league. But, you know, Rangers, they have a winger, Robbie Mutondo, injured in the first half. They put on a centre half. Now, it sends out the wrong message to 50,000 fans at home. I've no problem with Michael Beale playing three at the back, but if you're going to change and play three at the back, do it from the start.
Especially when you predicted John Souter to be player of the year last year.
That was
You have no problem with him.
13 months ago, he's an outstanding player. How was I to know he'd be injured an hour into the season?
Graham, can you not see this turning round then? Like Emmy say that, it was a win. There's nothing technically to be turned from this weekend, but you don't see this picture improving?
No, we shouldn't have won that game yesterday, mate. We're not winning that cup era, whether Celtic's in it or no. There's no way, playing like that, we're going to do anything. They'll make it a right shake-up. And the manager can take so much of it, but surely players can pass 5 yards. The first touch of that Lammers and that Dessers, don't see that remains football. The first touch is a joke. Unbelievable. Oh, I'm sick of it, man.
Well, listen, Gordon, I said after the first week of the season that the defeat at Kilmarnock, the three pinpointed were Lammers, Dessers and Seymour. And they've all scored goals since then, but I don't think any of the three of them have convinced any Rangers supporters that they are the future.
Well, if we're talking about Dessers' goal yesterday, I'm not entirely sure he knew much about it.
No.
They all count, as they say.
Yeah, of course they do, but... You know, injuries happen. If Todd Cantwell and Danilo and Raskin and Lawrence and possibly now Mutondo are out of the team, I don't think the Motherwells and the Livingstons of this world are going to have a great deal of sympathy for Rangers that they've got a few injuries.
No. Okay, thank you, Graham. Scunnered he is. I'm sure we'll hear from you soon, Graham, on 01419511025. We'll hear from you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Kenny Miller are about to be joined by Lee in Knightswood on the line. A lot of negativity from the Rangers fans so far. Lee, where do you sit?
All right, Duncan. I'm the same, mate. I think this manager, man. Kenny, well, maybe Kenny can answer this in a minute, but Kenny, can you tell me what he's trying to do with this formation? Because it's absolutely dross to watch. I mean, even under Gio, when Gio was there, like, I don't think Gio was the answer. The football wasn't good, but you know what kind of he was trying to do with a horseshoe and all that? This football we are playing is some of the worst football I've ever seen. I tell you one thing, I'm not getting back to Ibrox anytime soon. Well, that manager's there. Until he changes, until he leaves, or the team changes and starts playing well. And I just want to say as well, on the signings, he said that he looked these players in the eye. And he said, I'm bringing in players that are going to play for Rangers that can deal with the pressure, who have got character. I mean, we have sold Čolak and Sakala. 30 goals have left our team, and we've brought in the Nigerian Kevin Kyle for £3.5 million in Dessers. Right, we've brought him in. We've brought in Seymour talks like a donkey. Honestly, boys, I cannot watch this football anymore. Yesterday, I was tearing my eyes out. I didn't get any hair, but see, if I had that, I'd be pulling it out. And I was absolutely furious, mate. And I tell you one thing, mate. See the noise coming through the stands yesterday? Everybody's the same. Everybody's frustrated. And the board as well. The board didn't need to act on this because the board have been quiet. They've made this decision. It's been here for 11 months. They've backed them. They've gave them the money. It's not happening. They're just waiting till we sleepwalk into another disastrous season. I mean, see, in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks' time, mate, we could be 12 points behind Celtic. That's how bad it is. That was the luckiest 1-0 win I've seen in my life. And if I was a Motherwell fan or supporter or player, I'd be gutted they didn't even win that.
I tell you one thing,
see if they scored first yesterday, they would have won that game. Because you can even see it in the players, Duncan. They're just looking at each other. They're lost. I mean, we've brought these players in. I mean, the best thing we've brought is our goalkeeper. It's absolutely terrible, man, honestly. I think the fans, we need to make a lot more noise about it as well, because I think the board will be getting away with murder. I know they've changed the board up a wee bit, as James Busgrove and that's come in, but we've won two trophies in about 12 years or something. That is not acceptable, and it's not an excuse anymore. We're not just up the divisions. We've been in here for a while, and it's the same dross week in, week out.
I tell you what, as monologues go, that was top dross from Lee.
Well, listen,
didn't miss a beat. Got his points across. Used some excellent imagery in there as well.
Well, we've had three Rangers callers on the show tonight, Gordon, and they all tell the same story. And if
Lee's was done with a certain drama that I like,
I'll give you that. But if John Bennett or James Bisgrove is listening to this show tonight, it will give them food for thought, because we've now, the last two callers are talking about not going back to Ibrox while Michael Beale is the manager. It takes a lot for a supporter of any club to talk about their manager like that.
Ah, but you'll go back, Lee, won't you? That's just emotions running high.
Gordon, I get too angry at the football, mate. I can't go back, because I'm telling you, it's neither enjoyable watching whether you're at the game or in the house, right? It's just, you just don't know where you're going. You don't know what he's actually trying to do. It's frustrating. And I just feel the supporters, man. Like, Michael Beale came in last year, he spoke at the game, right? But let's be honest, he's no delivering. Michael Beale looks like the kind of guy, see, if he was a manager, he'd probably be selling candles down Camden Market. He's not the man for us, mate. He's not.
What does a Camden Market candle seller look like? I must admit, it's not.
Listen,
this is lost on me.
Lee's at the end of his wick with us.
Quite clearly. He'll be on Waxing Lyrical if they turn it around next week. Kenny, about 8 minutes ago, there was a question for you, though.
Somewhere in there.
About what are they doing? What's the style of play? It was something along those lines.
I've got to say, Lee, I genuinely don't know at this moment in time. Firstly, the performance yesterday was awful. It was. I think the manager's admitted that.
What about it? You know, what in particular?
Turning the ball over, giving it away cheap. Was it previous caller Graham? Can he pass it 5 yards? Well, there was a lot of that, particularly in the early stages of the game. I think it's pretty slow. I think there's a real lack of urgency, movement, excitement. You know, the fans are turning up to expecting to see, they're there to be entertained. Yeah, they want the team to win, but the team is actually still winning, and there is a lot of complaints at this moment in time. What I would say is that there's only, and it's not in defence of the manager or the club or the board or anything, in my opinion, you're missing your two most creative players, and Todd Cantwell, and by the way, forget creative, best, your best players, and Todd Cantwell and Tom Lawrence. I think in an attacking sense, that's yesterday, probably Lammers wouldn't have played had any one of them been fit, and maybe even Matondo would have been played, which would have allowed Matondo to be on the bench and be the impact player that at this moment in time he probably is. That's when you've seen the best of him, when he's coming on and the game's a little bit more open, players a little bit more tired, and that pace he has is absolutely electric. You've seen it in the St Johnston game the week before, you've seen it in the PSV game at Ibrox as well. So I just think they're missing big players, and I think one of the quotes that Michael used and on the team that finished the game, who was on the pitch was what they had available to be on the pitch. So it is saying that there is a lot of, I mean, right, you throw Raskin into it as well, who is not quite hit the heights of how he did last year, but he still looks like a decent player. It was a decent performance on Thursday night. So it's from like, say, Lundstrom, who came in. It was Tom Lawrence again, losing him through injury was a big, big blow. But they're missing big players, you know, and I think when at this moment in time, Rangers can't afford to be missing, like, say, Cantwell, Lawrence, Raskin, and even Danilo, because I felt he looked as if Everybody's been waiting for Danilo to get an opportunity. Why he hadn't played before St Johnstone, I'm not too sure.
As Roger says, well, the problem for the Rangers fans is they still feel that despite all that, you should look better against Motherwell, ultimately.
And you should.
Because, I mean, Lammers, it's all right saying that Lammers isn't as good as these, but he was signed with the intention of being, and Dessers was signed with the intention of being.
And you know what? And that's where a lot of the fans... It was the same last year with Gio. Recruitment. Recruitment is can actually make or break a manager as well. Last year, it was Davies, it was Yilmaz, it was Matondo, it was Colak, who, by the way, hit the ground running when he needed to hit the ground running, but there were still question marks over him. This year, it's Dessers, it's Seymour, it's Lammers, it's Danilo, it's Dowell, it's Cifuentes. Again, Butland's been the only hit so far.
Okay, let's bring in Brian and see how he feels. Brian?
Hi, panel. Thanks for letting me on.
Pleasure.
I'll give you a bit of background on me. Lee sounds very, very young, which means his support of Rangers hasn't been great over the last few years. If he's not as young as I think he is, I apologise for that. I'm 62. When I first started following the club, most of the Barcelona Bears were still there. I followed the club right up to the beginning of the 90s, and then I gave up my season book. I don't go now, but the club remains in my heart and always will. So I'm of a certain vintage. I've seen Rangers struggle to finish fourth and fifth in the league in the early 80s before Graeme Souness came in. Okay, so that's my background. So what I normally do is I normally back managers. After the Rangers-Celtic game, I wanted Michael Beale's head in a platter because I was fed up of failure. But over the international break, I started to think the last thing we want to do is change our manager. We've backed him. So if you sack him and you bring another manager in, he's going to have to deal with the players that Michael Beale has got there. There might not be any change. I mean, things at the moment are certainly not perfect. But we did win yesterday. And I think the biggest problem for new players at Ibrox is dealing with the intense pressure. And I think the longer that game went yesterday, Rangers players went into defensive mode. In other words, deciding they're leading 1-0 and that as long as we get through this game leading 1-0 and winning it, then everything will be okay. But obviously everything isn't okay because you want the performance to go over the result, and basically the performance yesterday wasn't good enough.
Is there a psychological thing there, Kenny? You've played, it can't be an easy place to play when things aren't going well. And it kind of reminded me, actually, remember one of the last nights of Gio was it was a 1-0 win, I think, against Dundee in the cup, and they were booed off. And I remember thinking that night, oh, what's that? You know, if you're getting booed off after a win, didn't last very long after that. I'm not saying that's definitely the case here, but is there a psychological thing for these new players?
100% there is. And I think a previous caller had kind of alluded to that as well about the character and the mentality of the players that have been signed. It looks at this moment in time, and again, I'm not going to name names on who I think it is, but I do think there's players there when it gets like this. I'm not going to say they're hiding, but they're not putting themselves out there to do the jobs that they're on that field of play to do. They're scared to make mistakes. They're scared to lose the ball. They're maybe playing safety football. And that is it can be a really, really unforgiving environment to be playing in. Yesterday was one of those days where the whole thinking can be, you can feel like the whole stadium's coming down on you. And when you see fans leaving, the stadium was half full at the end of the game. You know, it was like the fans had left. You know, they weren't there to see what was going on. They had left. And it's a really, really tough place to be when the atmosphere around Ibrox is like that. Listen, it's the best place in the world to be playing when everything's going well. But that's where, when you talk about mentalities and you talk about characters or characteristics you need to represent Rangers and Celtic for that matter, you need to be able to stand up to this and still deliver. You know, and at this moment in time, they've not delivered. Particularly the new signings, but even the other lads, I think it's affecting them as well. And like you say, there's only one way you can get out of it, but it's whether they've got the fight and the character and the personality to actually dig themselves out of it.
Yeah, but listen, the relationship between players and fans is a two-way street. You know, fans won't back players that they don't see, you know, they don't believe are good enough to wear the jersey. You look at the situation yesterday, yes, there are injuries, but no disrespect to the players I'm about to mention, but Scott Wright starts, Rangers were trying to sell Scott Wright at the end of the transfer window. A month later, he's starting in the first team.
It actually looked like he was away at one point.
Yeah, well, he was. He was in Turkey for talks. Rabi Matondo couldn't get anywhere near the team last season. Now he's arguably the main man because he's no longer competing with Morelos and Kent and Hadji and Sakala and Cholak for a place. He's in there because the guys who have replaced all these players haven't shown up. Haven't shown that they've got, Kenny mentioned the word character, haven't even shown they've got the quality to play for Rangers, never mind the character. And until these guys actually show that Michael Beale was right to buy them, then Mark and Graham and Lee and Brian and every other Rangers caller will come on and make the points that they've been making tonight.
Thank you to Brian. Robert is a Rangers fan. He's not happy, and we're going to hear from him next. It was Gary who got today's Make Me A Winner call. He's a bus driver and he was waiting to pick up a load of passengers when he answered the phone. He's been thinking about his retirement, so this might speed things up. Tomorrow we could make you the winner of £84,000. Imagine it, straight into your bank right after the call. But you do need to be in the draw, so text YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com and online entries are £2 as well. Or call 0330 880 4523 and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only and all the rules for this network competition are online. So if you get the call from us after 3pm tomorrow, Tuesday the 26th, all you've got to do, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away. Don't say anything else, don't say hello, don't say who's that. Make me a winner to win £84,000. So text YES to 61025. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna are here on the phones and on Twitter. Joyful says, football's been dire, but can't totally blame Beale. He stood shaking his head at the level of dross on Sunday. They looked like strangers, no confidence, trying to walk the goals in, says Joyful on Twitter. What about Robert on the line? How would you sum up the performance yesterday, Robert?
Shocking. Absolutely terrible. Good evening, panel. It's the first time caller here, so... First time.
Well, it must have been bad then. It's made you pick up the phone for the first time.
It was absolutely terrible. Took my wee boy yesterday for his first ever game. And to be quite honest with you, I don't think I'll take him back under Michael Beale's wings. The Rangers team, the Rangers lineup, absolutely terrible. Starting Scott Wright, who's, I don't think he's actually played many games. I just don't rate him as a player. Yesterday, he never really kicked the ball. Passing for Rangers was slack. Movement for Rangers was slack. Again, as previous callers have said, there was Michael Beale standing at the touchline, putting his arms out in shame. Every day, all the fans are all shouting. Something's got to be done here.
Here's the thing though, Robert. Realistically, because I'm not saying you're wrong to be annoyed at the performance. You pay your money so you can think what you like. But we say something's going to be done. Something's not going to be done well Michael Beale's winning games, is it?
I understand that, but it's a painful 90 minutes to stand and watching that. You know what I mean, no disrespect to Motherwell, but Rangers playing against Motherwell with obviously the talent that Rangers used to have, you would be expecting a lot more goals, a lot more passing, movement. I'm going to be my wee brother's football, and my wee brother's games have got more passing, more movement, more goals, it's more skill. And when you're looking at the players in the park, the money they're getting paid is absolutely terrible for what they're doing. Yesterday's gameplay was absolutely shocking. I actually wanted to leave at half time. That's how bad it was.
Well, I think it got worse in the second half. So, I mean, Roger, does it feel like the beginning of the end then, or can it be turned around? Because if this is the way fans are reacting after a win, I don't know, you know.
There were some supporters surprised that Michael Beale survived the week of PSV and Celtic. Now, the board have had talks with the manager. He's spoken publicly about that. I tend to think the manager has been told he's one defeat away from problems. He hasn't had that defeat yet. They won at St Johnstone. They won against Real Betis. They won against Motherwell, remember, yesterday. They did win the game. But he needs to keep winning. And he needs to keep winning and winning and winning and winning. Kenny made the point. You get to December, still in that Europa League group, I should say. There's the League Cup final and there's the trip to Celtic Park. If Michael Beale is still in the position in December, he's going to need to win the League Cup. He's going to need to take Rangers through in Europe. And at some stage as a Rangers manager, he's going to have to win a meaningful game against Celtic. The one he won at the end of last season was after the title had gone. He's going to have to win a meaningful game against Celtic because no Rangers manager survives if you don't do that.
It feels from when I say the outside, someone who doesn't have the emotion attached, that, you know, that Robert and the guys do, Kenny, that it feels a bit all over the place. Firstly, injuries, of course, so that means there's going to be disruption. But then on top of that, you know, it seemed like at the start of the season, Rangers weren't going to play with wingers. That just wasn't really going to be the thing. But all of a sudden, not only is it wingers, it's Rabi Matondo and Scott Wright, you know, that are starting games. You mentioned then, you know, in-game when Matondo comes off, but it's John Souter that comes on. Again, players need to take share of the blame here, but no one really quite knows is Dessers, Sima, Lammers before the injuries, you know, Ruth, what's the best team? It just feels like everything's all a bit all over the place.
That's exactly it. And that's, I think for fans looking at it, that's how they'll feel, because there is constant changes. Yes, there is injuries, but even before, like, the injuries to kind of Cantwell, and like Lawrence was coming back to fitness, Kamara Roof was coming back to fitness after long term injuries. Like the new signings, it was right, we'll try him with him, we'll put him there, we'll maybe try this slightly different formation. I mean, Michael's alluded to front twos, front threes, front fours anytime he kind of picked a team. But the one thing's for sure, whoever had been playing in those areas had never nailed down. I think Roger said it earlier, they've not said, I'm the guy that's going to be playing, I'm the guy that deserves to be in your team sheet every single week. And by the way, I'm also going to be the guy that helps you out with this hole, because this is where the team is at the moment, and they need people to stand up and actually do that. And at this moment, again, every caller has said the same thing. This group, that's a big, big, forget abilities and quality. Have you actually got that something about you to stand up to all this negativity and actually help your mates and help your manager? Because one thing I do agree with, the buck always stops with the manager, and that's just the nature of football. But players need to take responsibility for their own personal pride in their performance. Like, you know, like, Michael's not asking these players to misplace a 5-yard, 10-yard pass. He's not asking them to do this or do this wrong, or miss chances, by the way, big chances at that. He's not asking them, but when in the big moments, players have not taken chances, they've made too many mistakes, and the performance of it, listen, that lands on Michael's desk. It's as simple as that, and he knows that. That's why he's paid the big bucks. But at this moment in time, you're right, it feels all over the place. That was Scotty's first start since Michael came back to the club. I think you had 2 minutes of football this season.
You've been in this game for 25 years, Kenny. You know, if Rangers and Celtic were playing in a cup final tomorrow, probably name 10 in the Celtic starting lineup.
Yeah.
Maybe the other winger on the other side for Maida, you could have an argument with. It was a bit of a surprise James Forrest was back in. I think the last three games, Forrest played one, Yang's played one, Palmer's played one. But you'd know the other 10 that were going to start. If Rangers were in that final tomorrow, you wouldn't have a clue. You wouldn't have a clue who would play or how they would line up. That can't be a good position to be in.
I thought we were about to bring in one more caller, but he seems to have disappeared. We'll try and get him back. It was a win for Rangers, but it seems like they've come out with a lot of negativity. And on the flip side, Motherwell with a lot of praise, Kenny, for what they did. Again, lost the game, but the performance.
I thought they were excellent. I really did. I mean, everything that you could maybe, that the Rangers fans are saying about their own team's performance, about maybe not knowing what they're doing and the formation and the personnel. I think what Stewart's found is a way of playing that just suits the players that he's got at his disposal. And what he's doing is he's getting every ounce out of those players. You know, like, I thought they were, their shape off the ball was really, really compact. They defended well. They limited Rangers to few opportunities, considering it's a Rangers team at Ibrox. They looked a threat. You know, they probably just lack a little bit of quality.
I think Kevin Van Veen back.
You know, I think he probably takes maybe one of the chances. But been Theo Bear, who actually thought had a decent enough game and he gave Rangers kind of problems at the back. You could see he just lacks a little bit of confidence maybe in his own ability. He had a chance to really go through in the second half. He had the legs on Conor Gault, and I was just thinking, go knock it. Go knock it and ask this Conor Gault as a striker, just go knock it past him and get your big body across him because he's a big, strong boy. And he chose to come back and then he tried the reverse pass to Lennon Miller and ended up going for a goal kick.
Who stood out for you in a positive sense?
Lennon Miller was outstanding. For Motherwell, it was, I think, for a 17-year-old, just turned 17 last month as well.
Is that the first time you've seen him?
It's the first time
in
I've
flesh.
Seen him live, and I tell you, there was times in the game in the first half in particular that he controlled the game. He was absolutely outstanding. I thought Callum Slattery was excellent. Liam Kelly, again, when called upon, needed to make the saves. He made them. His distribution was really, really good. But for a 17-year-old boy in that team, to go into that and control spells, he never ran the show, but for a 17-year-old to show the composure, the vision, the range of passing that he showed as well, I thought he was excellent.
I go back, Gordon. You look at far closer than I do. I get back to that Saturday night at Kirkcaldy when Motherwell got knocked out of the Scottish Cup. They were favourites to be relegated out of the Premiership at that stage. And you think from, when's that, end of January, start of February, where they were then to where they are now, it's night and day. And Stuart Kettlewell's done a fantastic job.
Let's bring in Gary in East Kilbride to round off the first hour. Gary, how are you?
I know, bad guys. How you doing?
Good here, all good. What's your point tonight?
Well, I took up to sit. The first guy came on who maybe showed a wee bit of calmness and the furore that's going on around what's happening at Ibrox just now. I think his name is Brian. He went away back to the Barcelona Bears and stuff like this. Now, I'm not as old as him, but I remember being at Ibrox in 1982 when we played Partick Thistle. We beat 2-0 and had the joy of counting 93 folk in the Brown section in the Brimley Road stand because the game and the football was that bad. There is a clue in the word here, Gordon. The word is supporter, right? You support your team through thick and thin, right? Now, Michael Beale's got to be given this wee bit of time. We could shout and moan about it. The style isn't great. I was there at the Newcastle game and saw right away how alarmingly narrow we looked in the middle of the park. And, you know, it makes Tav and Barisic look very, very exposed. But, you know, we look at the run to Seville, in the part that the 12th man played, being the supporters, that's how we got there, because of how our supporters reacted and supported our team. And I can't, I tell you what, we've won two trophies in the last God knows how many years. We won the league, and there's no coincidence that we won the league when there was COVID and we had no fans inside Ibrox, because our players are petrified to make a mistake because the fans are on them. And Kenny was talking about it yesterday, and no, a couple of loose passes and they're right on their case. And you're like, come on, support the team. And I have to say, Kenny, I was a bit disappointed that you advocated that it was right to boo at the end of a game. I just think that's a nonsense. Why boo your team? You support your team.
I never booed the team, but I could understand the fans, you know. And that's the thing, though, Gary, right? Fans pay their money, they expect better. You know, and that is it. And by the way, I'm like you. I think you have to, for everything that the club have went through and the recruitment has been, which again at this moment doesn't look great, I still think the manager, the players deserve a bit of time to actually show that they can do it. But they have to do it now, walking a tightrope. They have to keep winning the games. And if the performance on Wednesday is a little bit better and you get through to a semi-final, you know what, it's a small step in the right direction. Because I think, prior to Sunday, I had seen little improvements. I mean, Thursday night was against a really, really good team, and it was a good performance, particularly second half. So, listen, I think that they need to keep winning. That is it. But listen, I get it, Gary, and I'm kind of half with you as well in terms of the supporting thing.
You're a voice of reason, Gary. We'll have to leave it there because it's that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, the first Beat the Pundit of a new week. We need to up the game, listeners. The pundits had it all their own way last week and I don't like it at all. Ruined my weekend, in fact. So you have until 7 o'clock to call 0141 951 1025. Say you want to play Beat the Pundit and we'll try and put you up against one of these two next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna are here on the usual number or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. If you want to get your thoughts in, there has been quite a lot said about Rangers' performance at the weekend. Some quite lively takes. If you want to keep them coming, you can do. Celtic fans, 10 men at a difficult venue historically. Where are you fearing the worst? How impressed were you with that performance? St Mirren fans, you're flying high. Would love to hear from you. Hearts, not going so well. Aberdeen, an important win. Why not get your calls in? Motherwell fans, you sort of Had a difficult result yesterday, but by all accounts a good performance. You could get your thoughts in as well. And I'm going to give you a very interesting game to play in the not too distant future. Nice wee prize for you up for grabs, thanks to the folks at James Frew, Scotland's leading property solutions company. So we'll do that in the not too distant future. But on the theme of competition, let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Last week got me down, I have to say. Five games, five wins for the pundits. You won, Kenny, last week. Look, Gordon DL won twice last week, right? That's all I'm saying. That's when we know things are bad.
Yeah.
I don't think you two have lost this season, have you? It's between you. Christopher's in Govan Hill tonight to play. How's it going, Christopher?
Hi, okay.
Now, Christopher, it can't. Yeah, you say okay. That's because you're a Partick Thistle fan. It wasn't a vintage weekend, was it?
Yeah, no, it was not.
Roger wanted to give our broth his result of the weekend. You were
no,
tempted.
I actually wanted to give Ayr United the result of the weekend, scoring five at Hampden.
But our broth would have been up there, surely.
Yeah.
My goodness. So, Christopher, your team have let you down and you're on to make up for it on Monday's Beat the Pundit. Is that the thought?
Well, that's what I was thinking, yes.
Good man. Well, Hedge will take on Roger Hannah, who starts on minus one. And Tails, it will be Kenny Miller. And it is Tails. Kenny up against Christopher and Govan Hill. So we'll give Kenny some greatest hits radio to listen to. And we'll get the clock ready for you, Christopher. You've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Good man, your time starts now. Before Saturday, name the last team James Forrest started against.
Hibs.
Name any Scottish Premiership player who scored a double over the weekend.
Majorski.
Who replaced Walter Smith as Scotland manager in 2007?
Alex McLeish.
Apart from St Johnstone, who's the only top flight team who've not won at home yet?
Hibs.
Who's Rangers' top scorer this season?
Seema.
Okay. Kenny Miller, can you hear us? Can you hear us now, Kenny?
Yep.
Great. You've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and your time starts now. Before Saturday, name the last team that James Forrest started against.
Pass.
Name any Scottish Premiership player who scored a double over the weekend.
Miofsky.
Who replaced Walter Smith as Scotland manager in 2007?
Oh, George Burley.
Apart from St Johnstone, who's the only Scottish Premiership side who've not won at home yet?
Livingston.
Who's Rangers' top scorer this season?
Dessers.
How many players have Celtic had sent off in the last week?
One. Oh my god.
Which Hibs player is the longest serving player in the Scottish Premiership?
Lewis Stevenson.
It was a roller coaster for you there.
Guys, I was all over the place.
Oh, have you done enough, Christopher? Yeah. What do you think?
I thought they were difficult.
I don't think so.
I think the first one's loaded slightly, right? Because if the answer was St Mirren or Ross County, we probably wouldn't have asked it. It was Rangers.
Oh, Rangers, was
it? So it was the New Year game. It was the last time James Forrest started. The double over the weekend, Miofsky or Armstrong, you both went Miofsky. Alex McLeish replaced Walter Smith, 2007.
Crazy.
I mean, if any of us should have known that one. 2-1 to Christopher. Livy are awaiting the first home win. 2-2. Sometimes you've just got to state the obvious. Who's Rangers' top scorer?
Tavernier.
It's James Tavernier on 4. So we're level. You know you get this one wrong.
Yeah.
Home, Lagerbielka and Hart. So three players sent off in the last week. What was the stat of the weekend? They had the same amount of players sent off in 1 hour of football as they did in the entirety of last season.
Is that right?
And Joe Hart.
Is that one of Gordon Dale's stats?
I don't think so. Joe Hart, first ever career red card.
Yeah.
He's played, what is it, 600, 700 games? Yep.
Can't complain about that one, though. That's for sure.
It's funny that, you know, on a Monday night, usually we debate big decisions. At 7:10, we've not had any saying Joe Hart was hard done by. But anyway, which Hibs player is the longest serving in the Premiership? It is Lewis Stevenson, which means, despite him not being at his best, Christopher, I think he's still dug out a 3-2.
Yeah, bit like Rangers yesterday.
Ah, honestly, yeah. I'd boo him off as well after that, Christopher.
No, he deserves it.
Good man. Cheers, Christopher. Thanks for taking part. Cheers, Christopher.
Thank you.
There we are. Back tomorrow with more Beat the Pundit fun.
Tough few days for Christopher.
Oh, beaten by our both, beaten by Kenny.
They're going well. 4 wins in a spin, or the 5 wins in a spin?
Incredible. Right. Celtic fans, what did you make of it at the weekend? Down to 10 men. Let us know. how impressed you were, because, you know, there was a lot being said. Yes, you'd won your last two visits to the Tony Macaroni. I think it was five without a win before that. And it has been a tough place to go. You're down to 10 men in the first half. Is that what all made it so impressive? Because you gave it your result of the weekend.
Yeah, I just think everything made it quite impressive. I thought it was they got ahead with a penalty. It was a silly foul by the Livingston defender. And Jamal George very nearly saved it from Rio Hatate. The penalty's not quite as emphatic as the ones David Turnbull's been taking this season. And then when Joe Hart sent off, inevitably with an hour to go, it doesn't matter who you're playing or where you're playing, if you're down to 10 men for an hour, there's obviously got to be that seed of doubt. But from the moment Matt O'Reilly scored early in the second half, there was only going to be one winner. It would just be a question of how many Celtic would score. And you know, you see it with strikers, Kenny. Dyson Maida scores with his hardest chance.
Yeah, and it was a wonderful goal as well, you know. But he'll be disappointed in the opportunity that then led to the Matt O'Reilly goal. You know, he should have scored that. He should have slammed that at the back of the net for 2 yards. Had the opportunity as well. Like, I felt the one across the box, he had to wait for the ball to come. I mean, sure, still should score, but again, credit has to go to Jamal George for actually getting off his line quick enough and closing Maeda. But the one thing about him, like, is I don't think he is the cleanest of finishers, Maeda, but he never shucks, he never hides, he's always there to be shot at the next time. And his goal was a wonderful way for him to finish the game. So it was, got goal of the weekend for me.
Yeah, I mean, because Brendan Rodgers would have known all this. He's only been to Livingston once, yeah, personally, to manage. It was a 0-0 draw that day back in 2018. But he'll have been aware that it's been tough. He'll have been aware that they had a bit of a bruising night in Europe. That, you know, there are still some players missing, particularly at the back. He's clearly still waiting, you know, as good as Celtic's win was, he's clearly still waiting on some areas of the pitch, hence why James Forrest started for the first time since January.
Listen, another layer of it would be they'd lost in the plastic at Kilmarnock in the Via Play Cup earlier in the season, so that there would be little seeds of doubt in there for Brendan Rodgers. But I thought the players carried Celtic through well. You know, Liam Scales is playing terrifically well for Celtic. You know, people keep talking about him as a makeshift centre-half. He's doing really well. I thought he played well at Aberdeen last season, and he's come in and he's taking his chance. He looks better than Lagar Bielka, it has to be said. So he's doing well. Greg Taylor, I thought, was back to a better performance at the weekend. Likewise, Callum McGregor. Hatate's been put back into the team. The one thing, as you say, the other winger, the right winger, if you like, at position, you've got Maeda, you've got Kyogo. I don't think, you talk about the Rangers' new signings, I don't think any of the Celtic new signings have convinced in that area in the injury absence of Abada. So don't be surprised if James Forrest is there at Firth Park again on Saturday, Gordon.
Right, let's bring in Jim, who's called all the way from Tampa, Florida. How's it going, Jim?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you guys doing today?
Oh, good, Jim, all good.
Jim, tell us you're going to the box in the Eagles tonight.
Oh, come on.
I'll be watching, that's for sure.
Oh, honestly, this guy needs no excuse to talk about that, Jim, so don't give him one. What about our round ball? What are you making of your team at the moment?
Well, listen, I think something happened in the Livingston game that was really kind of significant and symbolic. So the red card happens to Joe Hart, and right away, Brendan Rodgers calls Callum McGregor over to the side. They calmly have a conversation. It's very obvious that Rodgers is thinking on his feet and he's not lost his cool, that our best player is over there listening to him, nodding, and that they're making a plan. And then they go out and execute that plan and come away with the points. And if you go back and you look at the Feyenoord game, it was obvious they had a plan. It didn't work out. In the Rangers game, obvious they had a plan. They executed. And this is with the depleted back line. And especially in Livingston, they've now just lost Joe Hart as well. But I think in the same way that when Ange gave the talk, when he said, "We never stop," that's when we knew, okay, now we know our team. We know what they are. We know who they are. We know how they behave. And I think that conversation between Brendan and Callum, that's who we are now. It's Brendan makes a plan, and we execute it. And that's Celtic. That's Celtic going forward. And that gives a lot of confidence, by the way. Because if you look at on the other side of the city, the Rangers don't really have that. So that's my comment.
I'll tell you what, Jim, this is spooky, because just before you called in, your call hadn't come up on my screen at all yet, Kenny Miller, it was during the break, said the exact same thing about the pep talk between Brendan Rodgers and Callum McGregor. You and Jim are on the same wavelength across different time zones.
We are, and it's because I've seen that story before. You know, I think it was at Boyata that got sent off Roger at Ibrox in the 3-2 game. Josh Windass scored early. Daniel Candeias then put Rangers back 2-1 up. I was on the bench that day, and Boyata gets sent off, and sure enough, Brendan Rodgers shouts Scott Brown across. He gives him the little pep talk. It's something again, Jim. This will be... Brendan is, again, elite level manager. I don't think he's thinking on his feet. I think he's prepared. He's prepared for these types of scenarios, and all he's doing is just reminding that in the heat of the battle, member captain, Callum, who is the skipper, this is what we do. We don't change our back four. We don't change our midfield three. We'll just push Dyson up. We'll let Kyogo and Maeda, they'll defend for out to in. And when we've on the ball, we still try and dominate. And you've seen that, particularly in the second half. Celtic, like you said, Roger, it was how many were they going to score? Mm-hmm. It's not are they going to win this game. It's how many can they score when they've got a man down. So I absolutely agree with you, Jim. I thought it's top-level management. That's why you go and pay the big bucks and get an elite-level manager and coach to come to the club. They've done it before and they've went and got him again.
It was Simunovic sent off, not to split hairs too much, but you were obviously in the you were in a half cure.
I was
reeling,
I was raging.
Not paying any attention, not caring. Roger, sometimes I guess big wins or big results can come in the most surprising of places. You know, you got the feeling that Brendan Rodgers would have absolutely taken a 1-0, get out of Livingston, tough place, get up the road, but to almost have the adversity of the 10 men and then go and win so comfortably, how satisfying must that have been?
Yeah, I always thought this was going to be a kind of awkward week for Celtic, if you like. Livingston away, we've spoken about why it's awkward. Motherwell away, this coming Saturday, Motherwell, who showed their good form again yesterday against Rangers. And I thought if Celtic could get through these two away games in the league, it would send out really ominous signs to Rangers and the rest, if you like. So they've got through the first part of it. If they can get through the second part, bearing in mind, no Joe Hart for Fir Park on Saturday. It will be Scott Bain. It'll be interesting to see who plays in the wing. I think James Forrest will keep his place in the side. But I don't think there's too many of the Celtic injured players ready to come back into the team this weekend. So I just think if they can get through Motherwell away with the same ease that they got through Livingston away, I think Brendan Rodgers will be quite comfortable with the situation they're in.
Apart from the management, Jim, who impressed you at the weekend?
Oh, good question. I like them all. I mean, I don't know that there was any one. I like the fact that the guys in the back did their part and held up, but they didn't have to do that much. I thought Spain, honestly, was pretty good. You know, he came in, he didn't have much, but he projected enough confidence to give me confidence as a fan that we're going to get through the next game with him in there. But the other one was Callum. Callum going over, you know, okay, I'm going to go to my leader. I'm going to find a plan. I'm going to make it happen out there on the field. It wasn't so much things that people did. It was the ways they behaved that impressed me. Mm. And that was, you know, as a fan, you know, you think about it from a fan's point of view. Fans are looking for signs and are looking for things to feel good about or to worry about. And that really gave me confidence, just watching this calm response. And, again, going into the Rangers game, what's going to happen? Hey, it was good in the Feyenoord game. What's going to happen? It wasn't bad. And, of course, the response to this last game. So it's just an overall feeling of where the team is at and of being settled about this transition from one coach to another. That's what sticks with me the most.
Jim, I'm very nosy. It's part of the job. Did you used to live in these parts? Have you always been in Florida?
No. Yes, Chicago and Florida. I've got a good friend that's a friend of Kenny's, I think, Neil Collins. She was our coach down here at Tampa Bay Rowdies.
I took in a game over the summer, actually, Jim. I took in the game against Sacramento.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I came down to see Neil and watched the game. So when I was there on holiday, so I went down and watched the game against Sacramento.
Have you been to see him at Barnsley yet?
I have not been down to see him at Barnsley yet.
It's funny that.
Uh-huh. I'm working at the weekends. I'm a busy man.
Well, Neil was my assistant coach. It was his first coaching job. I was coaching at a high school here in Tampa. And Neil and I had met, and he was going to transition into coaching. But how many guys do you know would say, sure, I'll go work at a high school and just practice and just get better at coaching when nobody's watching? Yeah, like mistakes.
Was that when he was still playing,
he's
Jim?
Amazing.
Was he still playing at that time?
Yes, he was. Yes, yep. He was. He was still. He's still playing. I brought some kids over to a Rowdy's game. He spoke to them, and when I watched him speak, I was thinking to myself, "I'm looking at a coach here. This guy's amazing. He's really got something. I would keep a sharp eye on that guy. He's something."
I love it, Jim. I love the fact that you've a little sound of Scottish football brilliant. With us over there in Tampa, Florida. That was brilliant. Thank you very much to Jim on the line. Let me tell you about this before we go any further.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with James Frew. Need a gas engineer, plumber, joiner or electrician? Contact them today.
Hugh even sounded a bit different there. But all this week we have teamed up with James Frew, Scotland's leading property solutions company. You can check out jamesfrew.co.uk for various services: plumbing, heating, gas, maintenance, construction. And we've got a great prize for you, thanks to the guys there as well. It's a 4-ball game of golf at the Fairmont in St Andrews. You can choose from either course, a lovely part of the world. All you have to do to win: tell us who the scorer of a famous goal in Scottish football history is. But since James Frew has been in business since 1911, we've changed the commentary a little bit to match that year. So tell us who scored this famous Scottish football goal. Listen carefully.
Young inside half brings it down, and by Jove, he's hit it from 30 yards, and it's a goal. It whizzes past the French keeper, and just listen to that crowd roar. Sensational.
There we go. Think you've got it, you two?
I think so.
I had it before even the commentary started, didn't you?
Okay, well, if you know who you think that who scored that goal, give us a call right now with your guess on 01419511025. You need to be over 18. You have until the end of this break to call. Get in touch now and you could win with James Frew. We will speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here. We're about to bring in Jim, who's a Celtic fan, on the line. I will still try and give you a teaser. I want to do more talking points from the weekend. It is all happening, so let's quickly play this first.
Super Scoreboard with James Frew. Need a gas engineer, plumber, joiner or electrician? Contact them today.
Yes, this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've teamed up with James Frew, Scotland's leading property solutions company. You can head over to jamesfrew.co.uk for all your building and property services. And we're asking you to guess who scored a famous Scotland goal. So tonight's prize was a 4-ball at the Fairmont in St Andrews. And on the line right now to try and win is Stuart in Clydebank. How's it going, Stuart?
Yeah, all good.
Right, let's hear it one more time. Who's this old style goal scorer then?
The diminutive young inside half brings it down, and by Jove, he's hit it from 30 yards, and it's a goal! It whizzes past the French keeper, and just listen to that crowd roar. Sensational!
Don't know if we should be describing him as diminutive. I think he's quite average size, if it's who I think it is. But anyway, Stuart, who are we going for?
James McFadden.
And it is indeed. Well done. You've won that 4-ball. Are you a keen golfer, Stuart? Are you just going to go and enjoy the scenery?
No, I like to hack my way around the course now and then. Good. So I look forward to it.
Yes, and it's a great day out up there at the Fairmont St Andrews. Brilliant. Much appreciate you taking part. Stuart, you're a Celtic fan as well. What are you thinking about your team at the moment?
Yeah, listen, I think about it, sort of sticky start. We gave it Livingston to echo the sort of sentiments of the last caller. I mean, I think we're well organised, and as Kenny says, he's a top level manager. So yeah, I'm happy with things are going so far.
Brilliant. Good man, Stuart. Well, well done for winning tonight's prize. Thanks again to the folks at James Frew. We've got another one tomorrow. It'll be a 4-ball at West Kilbride Golf Course this as well. Wait till Gordon DL finds out about all these prizes. Oh, he'll be all over this, won't he? He'll try to tick them off.
Right. I just wonder though if his new dog walking career's impinging in his golf.
Well,
at
listen,
all.
I was off on Saturday, as you know, but I did hear some alarming reports. Yeah. So thanks again to Stuart. We're about to bring in Jim. Let's just quickly set this up.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Tackle your customers' spaces with made-to-measure wardrobes.
Since 2015, so 2015 and onwards, can you name 7 players who've been sent off for Rangers or Celtic more than once in the same calendar year? So 2015 onwards, can you name 7 players who've been sent off for Rangers or Celtic more than once in a calendar year? Which is quite something.
Morelos.
Yep. I think, what was it, four times?
I think maybe one got rescinded.
Anyway, okay, yep.
Simunovic?
Yes. That Rangers and Alaskert in Europe. Okay. Five to get. Rog, one guess. No,
was
come back.
Callum McGregor, no. Twice, no.
He was not right. Okay, let's bring in Jim in Southampton. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I've been listening tonight. Fantastic show.
Thank you.
But the last two callers have taken up every point I was going to make.
No, sure.
That's
Jim,
the way of it.
I don't believe that's the case, Jim. I always think that they've just set you up nicely and you can just swoop in and elaborate. Don't worry about that.
That's okay. I had a backup one anyway. So my first one, Jim from Tampa, took it over. And if Jim from Tampa's got a house that I can go out there for a holiday, I'll leave my number with your producer.
I'm already on it, Jim.
Thanks a lot,
Jim. Did you ever think you would have to go top to tail with Kenny Miller?
Listen, I used to cheer the guy, so.
Well, cheers, one word for it.
I appreciate his point of view. My first point was going to be again what Jim said about how well Celtic played with 10 men. It's so easy to sit back, try and protect a 1-0 lead. They didn't. It's as if they've got... It's bred in them the last few years. It's great. As a Celtic fan, it's fantastic. You know, I'm riding the crest of the wave. And we don't stop. We just keep going. And that's the way to play when you're down to 10 men. That's the way you play against. They just don't change, just keep going.
What's the key to that, Kenny? Is it because the stereotypical response is to leave one up front and, you know, it's going to drop everyone else back? But obviously Celtic don't do that. And is that the key to it, ultimately, to trying to make sure that the attacking play is still there?
Yeah, and they don't panic. You know, they still play, they still try and pass the ball. Listen, they probably have to work that little bit harder, particularly in the forward areas, because you're lacking a player. But like I said, I'd seen that movie before. You know, when I think it was Edouard and Dembele were up front that day. And it's something that clearly they work on beforehand, because there will be times, clearly not a lot of times, but Celtic are going to go down to 10 men, that they need to have a plan. You can't just go into that. It's just like everything else. You need to prepare properly. And clearly Brendan and his team do. So they don't panic. They can stay calm. And Brendan just needed to obviously reinforce the message, right, this is what we're doing. And this is how we're going to go about it. But if you think about it, the way they want to play and they want to build through the thirds and things, the back four doesn't change, the midfield three doesn't change, they've still got the same numbers in those areas of the pitch. I mean, you've got two guys who can run tirelessly. I mean, he was referenced Maeda then, but Kyogo's the same. You know, he's a bundle of energy and he puts a lot into the game for his team off the ball as well. I mean, you just have to adjust their position slightly. Have you seen they just defended that kind of a little bit wider, and they cut the fullbacks off to try and force the ball through the middle where the bodies are there, you know? So they've done it really, really well. And again, once they get the ball, they've got Callum McGregor's, Hatate's, O'Reilly's, all so comfortable on the ball. They get their fullbacks in. Their centre-backs are comfortable enough on it as well. And they can just keep passing. And they were the team that actually looked like they're the man extra. The centre-half.
Jim, it must help. I think Brendan Rodgers alluded to it when you've got Dyes and Maeda, who does the running of two or three men.
Do you know, I think that guy, he seems highlighted when he gets a chance. Sometimes it looks as if he's duffed it. But if you watch him throughout a game, that's one person I don't want Celtic to lose to. Ange, love him. That's the type of person he will try and take down there. We've not got, they don't stop. They've got this mentality. They just do not stop running spaces. Look at Kyogo. Instead of being the goal scorer, he's providing the goals. They've been a revelation to our game, and I hope we don't lose them to other countries. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, I was through at Livingston today. It doesn't even matter who it was. It's not about some big exclusive or revealing a private conversation. But I spoke to a Livy player who played at the weekend, and Maeda came up, and it was that sort of, you know, shake of the head, widen of the eyes, like, I can't believe how much he runs. Like, yeah, you know, it's easy for us to say, oh, look at this guy, you know, from the outside. But players are on the pitch genuinely can't believe it, which to me seems surprising, because you're sitting next to a guy that was a very hard worker. There are loads of players have worked hard over the years. It seems like he does the intense sprints, yeah, like, that, I mean, all the time.
Kenny will be used to that. You know, he mentioned Maeda and Kyogo, the two of them doing those intense sprints, you know, for that last hour. He was used to it. You and Boydie used to do it together, didn't
Absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, yep.
Very similar. But Maeda has been terrific. If you remember in pre-season, actually, Kyogo missed games at the start of pre-season. He was playing through the middle, Maeda. And you wondered at that stage if Brendan Rodgers might actually use them as a two at some stage during the season. And I do think if anything was to happen to Kyogo, his shoulder was to go or another injury or a suspension, whatever, I think Maeda would be first choice ahead of O to go through the middle.
Just to back it up though, just to make sure we're not getting, I would like Celtic to just publish the numbers, just put it out there and say, there you are, the top high intensity runner in the league outside Dyson Maeda is X, and this guy does twice as many. Or, you know, will it be as extreme as that?
No, it won't.
No, I don't actually mean double, but will it be a sizable difference?
I think the way that he plays, and you know, like, everybody's got their strengths. That's one of his strengths, so he needs to, you know, he needs to bring that to Celtic's team. Otherwise, if he couldn't do it, he probably wouldn't play, you know, but he brings so much with his work rate and the speed that he presses players. Again, a lot of people say that's why he always plays against Rangers, because he can stop Tavernier, which is a serious threat. But he will be, the way he plays, I would say he would probably be the highest in terms of the high intensity sprints because it's consistent.
And it's not like, even it feels going like it would forward. Be by a distance.
It's going
it,
back the way as well. I mean, I think elite levels, maybe 1,300 metres high intensity would be an elite level number over the course of 90 minutes. Well, 95, 96 these days. I think he'd probably maybe be close to fit. I don't think it'll be like 500 metres more. Listen, I might be wrong.
I said the same.
I would love to see his distance covered in his high intensity runs. I would love to see it.
Those numbers will be available somewhere, maybe from previously in his career. But I think Celtic Sports Science should just stick them out there. Let us know. I would beef them up a little bit as well. I mean, Roger, the other performers though that seem to get the headlines, Matt O'Reilly, he's already surpassed last season's goals tally. Yeah. He's then at the other end running. I think there's a really crucial block late on as well. Maybe just would have made Celtic wobble a little bit. Greg Taylor, arguably his performance of the season.
Without doubt, yeah, I said that earlier on, yeah. O'Reilly's playing well. O'Reilly, clearly Brendan Rodgers has spoken to him and told him he wants to add, as the kids say, Gordon, numbers to his game. More goals, more assists. There's no doubt the lad's quality. He is still very young. I think, was he 22 maybe, Matt O'Reilly? There's a lot more to come from Matt O'Reilly. But if you can, as a central midfielder, get up there and get goals, it's crucial.
Very good player. I liked him since he came in, and I think what he's done since he first came in, he now looks fitter, he looks leaner, he looks able to last the 90, 95, 96 minutes of the game now. And I think that is a huge part of when he's playing in that position for Celtic. He should be arriving in the box. You know, he should be getting on the end of things. I think he was, assist-wise, he was probably one of the highest last season as well, to be fair. But in terms of goals, there wasn't that many. So he's off to a flyer this year with four league goals. And again, I think he's got an assist or two as well. So he's got off to a wonderful start. But really, really good player. I think the balance between him, between Callum McGregor, Hatate or David Turnbull, if he plays, it's a really, really strong midfield.
Jim, usually we can argue about pretty much anything on here, but I take it was there no complaints about Joe Hart's red card?
Not a chance. The big man, that was Bambi on ice, mate. That was, there wasn't a second in my head that he wasn't getting sent off. But again, it goes back. We handled it fantastic. Can I just go back when the guys were talking about Matt O'Reilly? Mm-hmm. Kenny, does that not remind you of Craig Burley, the way Matt O'Reilly started this year?
You know, I think Craig Burley, I mean, he was, an attacking midfielder, a light driver in the box, unbelievable player. I mean, again, I'm watching Celtic a lot more now. I've retired, and you can see when you're working at the games or you're working in this side, that you watch them a lot more. I kind of put him alongside Rogic. You know, I think the way he receives the ball, obviously, is similar size, similar build, left-sided, really creative. I mean, if he gets to the same level as Rogic did, then he'll be a wonderful player for Celtic. But I can see the comparison in terms of now arriving in the box with good timing, getting on the end of things. And again, the more goals he scores, the happier the Celtic fans are going to be.
Thank you very much to Jim on the line. Very quickly, you two, we're looking for the last 7 Celtic or Rangers players to be sent off more than once in the same calendar year since 2015. You've got Alfredo Morelos and Jozo Simunovic.
What about Scott Brown?
No.
Oft. What about John Flanagan?
Nope.
Kenny mentioned him earlier. Dedrick Boyata?
No.
Oh my God, they're just all getting crossed off my list here.
Who was always semi-decent for a Celtic red card just a couple of seasons ago? Didn't even always play that often latterly, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'll give you some thinking time. And we're going to speak to Paul, who's a St Mirren fan, next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna are here on the usual number or on Twitter. Can you help me on this teaser? Thanks again to the folks at Sliding Wardrobe Solutions in East Kilbride for helping us out with this one. We're looking for, since 2015, 7 players have been sent off for Rangers or Celtic more than once in a calendar year. Alfredo Morelos and Jozo Simunovic. Is that what you got before the break? Okay, any more?
Near Beaton.
Yep, Rangers and Midtjylland in 2021.
What about Daniel Candias?
Yes, St Mirren and...
I only remember St Mirren when they're out with Willie Collum.
Villarreal.
Ah, okay.
Speaking of St Mirren, watch that for a seamless transition. Paul is a St Mirren fan in Barrhead. How good are your team at the moment, Paul?
Ah, good evening, guys. If you remember, I talked to you after the Hibs game a few weeks ago. And I was saying at the end of that call, I was quite happy for us just to stay in the league. But my perception's changed ever so slightly now.
The Champions League?
The Champions League, what we'll do is, I'll be disappointed, I'll be honest, if we don't get there. but in all seriousness, I'm absolutely kind of on cloud nine. Despite the best efforts of our officials to not get us where we are just now. And that's my kind of main point of calling. So since the Hibs game, we're not sitting second in the league, lucky, you know. We've been extremely unlucky, I think. Obviously, we lost Mark O'Hara just before the Dundee game in the warm-up. He's a massive player for us, so losing him, you know, I was a wee bit worried. But apart from that, out of the games we've played so far, 3 of them, I think, we've been massively done by the referees, is lack of a better word. They done, just to remind you, the Dundee game, the ball over the line, if you look at the view on VAR, it looked to me like it was massively over the line. The Aberdeen game, we should have beat Aberdeen by at least 3 or 4 on the day, I would say. And then that obviously contentious penalty right in the very last, I think it was the 96th or 97th minute, where the player double kicked it. And on Saturday, I don't even know where to begin, with the goals being chopped off. It was absolutely ridiculous, especially now with VAR as a backup for them. So they're either corrupt or they're absolutely useless. It's one of the two as far as I'm concerned. But on the other side of the coin, I'm extremely happy with VAR.
Let's steer slightly clear of accusations of corruption. I think for everyone's sake, I think that's probably the best bet here. And I'm almost certain there is no anti-St Mirren,
agenda
movement out there, Paul. As good as it sounds, I don't know if it stretches that far. But Kenny Miller did give one of them his howler of the weekend, so they're going to agree sentiment-wise that the one to Mandron's disallowed goal is... it's hard to make it, because, you know, I'll try even for conversational purposes to say, well, maybe the ref saw this or maybe the ref saw that.
I don't see it.
I can't.
It.
Yeah. I don't know where to begin.
We can't
I'm
see
struggling.
It. Should have been. It's a good goal. Should have been given. If it had been chopped out, VAR should be looking at it and saying, look, have another look at this. Maybe you've thought there was a contact and there's no contact. You know, it never came. So, fortunate enough for Paul and his team, it never cost them. You know, because it could have. When it's 1-0 and it's a really, really tight game, as you've seen with the chance right at the end for Shankland, that could have cost them another 2 points the way it did a few weeks back against Aberdeen. So it's it never cost them, but it was. I thought that one in particular was a howler.
Yeah, I mean, what about the other ones? Because I've seen it, and it's I don't know if this is just for my own sanity or whatever I do this, but the offside one, and people keep saying, doesn't he look offside to me?
You need to trust him. Fraser Wishart was covering the game for Super Scoreboard on Saturday, and Fraser said at the time, I think it's a goal from where I am.
Yeah.
He looks onside. And of course, with great comedy timing, just at that, the goal's ruled out.
Yeah.
And I've seen it in the television. He looks onside to the naked eye. We have to trust the tech that they've got it right. Kenny's right. The Mandron one, he takes the ball off Frankie Kent. And the Hearts defenders got away with one. It's a ridiculous decision. I actually thought the first goal, I think Paul's got a case. Alec Gogish, is it high? Is it dangerous? I'm not too sure whether it is or not. But the goal's not given. The double kick of the penalty against Aberdeen, I'm with you in that. I'm surprised VAR didn't pick that up.
Paul, listen, you can call about whatever you want, but my advice to you would be, football is an annoying place at the best of times. So see, when you're winning, let's just try and enjoy that. Don't get bogged down right now. So tell me what you're liking about your team a bit more. Let's elaborate on the positives.
Aye, we'll leave that part to one side, because listen, football costs a lot of money, and luckily it hasn't changed the results for the officials. So we'll leave that part, but I do think they need to get their act together. So on the good side, I think, I mean, God, pick your best player. Right now they're all absolutely flying. A massive kind of shout out for me. I was a wee bit worried when we lost Carson at the start of the season. Zach Herring coming in, I wasn't too sure of him when he was at Kilmarnock, but he's been absolutely phenomenal right now. I actually think he's playing better than Carson. I don't know what Jamie Langfield's giving the keepers doing at Ralston, but they just seem to be getting better and better every win that they get.
Was it Cammy Devlin? He tipped round the post, Paul. That was the best save, wasn't it?
It put that around. At the time, I thought it was a by kick. It wasn't until I watched the highlights that I realised he actually got his fingertips to it, so it's phenomenal. I really, like I said, the whole team's playing brilliant. I mentioned about Ryan Strain the last time I was on. I just think he's the best player, or the right back in Scotland just now. I'll stick by that. But a massive kind of shout out to Scott Tanzer, who last year had a wee bit of a difficult time. I believe it was stuff off the park, but this year he looks like an absolutely different player. He's been phenomenal for us. So, yeah, it's really, really struggling to pick your best team just now. What I will say is we are quite a small squad, so I'm worried if we do get the inevitable injury.
It's funny you say that, Paul. I spoke to Stephen Robinson about that on Friday, and I think partly it's down to money, but partly it's deliberate as well. I think he tries to foster tight relationships in a very tight group. He went for quality, spent more to get, he talks about 19 first team players and then the youth players that sort of supplement it. He could have gone for 25 or 26 and maybe not get the same sort of quality, and then maybe had guys who were on the periphery and didn't really feel involved, and that doesn't help team spirit. But there's a great team spirit down there. You know what you're getting from St Mirren. We spoke about Rangers. You don't know how they're going to line up. You know St Mirren, you know what they're going to be like. They're going to play the three at the back. They're going to play those wing backs. Last week it was Strain to Tanzer for the goal. This week it's Tanzer to Strain for the goal. And I think you've every chance at Easter Road on Wednesday night to reach Hamden.
I always like it when teams have got a real theme to what they do, or a pattern that you can recognise. Kenny and Paul mentioned a couple of the guys. He said, you know, he's been praising Ryan Strain before and Scott Tanzer. How they cross the ball to each other arriving at the other side, it's what you aim for when you play that system. We saw it at Fir Park,
and it shows, Neil, it also
we saw
shows,
it on Saturday.
It actually shows it's not defensive. Like, even though you're playing this back three, back five, like when you've not got the ball, when you've got wing back to wing back, that shows that both of them are getting there at the back post, probably where they should be. Because if you're talking about wingers again, you want them arriving in the back kind of post area when the ball's on the other side. But when you're playing that 3-5-2, effectively in this moment, they are the wingers. And they need to be getting in there where it hurts at the back post. And you know, that's 2 weeks running, one to the other, straight to Tanzer, Tanzer to Strain. So really, really good play. It's clearly something is working under Stephen Robinson's time at St Mirren. Top six last year, absolutely flying high, second in the league this year. And you know what? They just look like they're going to be competitive, and against whoever they play. You know, even when Celtic or Rangers come to town, they've been actually really, really competitive in those games as well. So, I'm sure Paul wants it to continue in this type of form. And who knows? You could be fighting for the European slots come the end of the season.
Good man, Paul. On the flip side, was it just a false dawn when Hearts beat Aberdeen last week? Then are Hearts in trouble? Are Hearts a worry? Is Stephen Naismith in bother? What level of criticism would you fire that way?
Listen, before that Hearts Aberdeen game, it was Stephen Naismith or Barry Robson, one of them's going to be in real bother. And since then, Barry Robson survived the defeat, decent performance in Frankfurt, albeit in defeat, and then four against Ross County. If they go to Ross County on Wednesday night and win, they're back at Hampden and everything will be rosy for Barry Robson again. Stephen Naismith, I don't think a lot of the Hearts fans are convinced by the project there of Stephen Naismith and Frankie McAvoy. Hearts still have some very good players through the squad. You look at Shanklin and Boyce up front, it's as good a pairing as anything outside the Old Firm for me. There are other good players in that squad. They need Craig Gordon back, I would suggest. They need Craig Halkett back, I would suggest. Benny Beringham just come back in at the weekend there for a first start after his ACL injury. They don't look nearly as good a team as the one that Robbie Nielsen took into Europe. That must set alarm bells ringing.
Are you going along with that, Kenny?
Absolutely. I think I said on Saturday, I believe that Hearts probably have the strongest squad outside of the Old Firm. they've got players back for injury. Craig Gordon's a big loss. I get it. I mean, he's, even though it's a goalkeeper in your back there, I think just having his influence on the back lot and having him behind in your in nets is a big calming influence on the Hearts team. But I think going forward, they're as good as anybody. I think Roger says Boyce and Shankland. I mean, for me, Duke and Miofsky, I think they're the definitely the best kind of two outside of the Old Firm. By the way, I think at the moment in time they'd maybe rival Rangers ones at this moment. But it's, aye, they're a strong, strong team. But I just think there is something missing at this moment in time. I mean, you think, right, okay, you beat Aberdeen, you're going to start climbing the league table, you're moving in the right direction. But that's been three losses to Dundee, Motherwell and St Mirren. And it's no disrespect to these teams, but Hearts are a bigger club with a bigger budget, more resources. If they want to be third spot this year, which is what I think Hibs, Aberdeen and Hearts have all got to be aiming for, you're going to have to overcome, definitely for me, Motherwell and St Mirren, who are flying high. And at this moment in time, like you say, there is a few questions surrounding what's actually happening at Hearts.
A couple of huge fixtures as well, away at Kilmarnock tomorrow night. If they get knocked out of the cup tomorrow night by Kilmarnock, there'll be more scrutiny in Stephen Naismith. There's an Edinburgh derby just round the corner.
So Hearts weren't back by beating Aberdeen. Are Aberdeen back by beating Ross County? The two guys you mentioned certainly looked like last season's form, Duke and Miofsky.
I mean, well, listen, both on the score sheet, I think it was Duke's first goal of the season as well, so that'll be a wee monkey off his back as well that he's managed to get on the score sheet. So I'm just not sure. I'm not sure about that either. I think when you're five games in and you've not won, there's clearly something wrong. Is the European adventure, is that going to hurt them? Maybe the way it hurt Hearts last year for spells. They've got a big game coming up as well. Obviously, the flip side of the fixture for the weekend away at Ross County for the in the quarterfinal, and then they go to Ibrox on Saturday. So that'll be a real test for them going there. As much as Rangers aren't playing well, going to Ibrox is never going to be easy. So it's a big week for Barry Robson as well.
I'm trying to think what else deserves a quick mention. If we fly down, is there anything to suggest that St Johnstone won't fulfil everyone's pre-season predictions and go down? I mean, it's extremely early, but just...
I saw them on Saturday and they were poor against Hibs. I didn't think Hibs were brilliant, but they certainly did enough to beat St Johnstone. You wonder where the goals are going to come from, St Johnstone. I was surprised Stephen McLean went back almost to the guys who played for him last season. You know, he seemed to be positive after the defeat to Rangers and then left out all the newcomers and brought the old guys back. And they produced the type of performance they've been producing for the last couple of years that's got them into relegation problems.
Yeah, going to be an interesting time. We're not far away from another international break as well, but we've got League Cup games to come around before then. Nations League game for Scotland women's national team tomorrow night, of course. Belgium on the back of an encouraging, easy for me to say, performance, but disappointing result against England in Sunderland on Friday. So let's see what tomorrow at Hampden can bring. Right, as usual, we finish off by seeing if you can come up with the answers to this teaser, pundits. And the aim of the game on this full-time teaser is that you, the listener, sends the question in. Stephen McCara did it tonight with help from Sliding Wardrobe Solutions, East Kilbride. Thanks to the guys there for helping us out. Can you name seven players sent off for Rangers or Celtic more than once in the same calendar year since 2015? Alfredo Morelos, a good few times. Daniel Candeas, Jozo Simunovic, and Nir Beaton.
No, I'm out at the moment.
No, you don't
There's
know.
Still one more you haven't
Ryan
said.
Jack?
I heard you.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Jack.
Yep, Hibs and Kilmarnock.
What about Christopher Julian?
No.
Ooh.
Same area of the pitch. Slightly different career since leaving Celtic.
Virgil van Dijk?
Virgil van Dijk.
Really?
When he was sent off against Dundee United in 2015, could you see the rest coming? Also sent off against Inter Milan, incidentally. But there we go. And the last one, a Rangers one.
No longer at the club?
No longer at the club.
Kyle Lafferty?
No. Sent off against St Mirren and Celtic in 2018.
Well, that's a good one, like that. Josh Windus?
No, I think it's a useless clue if I've got it wrong. The Celtic one was at Hampden. I don't like the way you're looking at me, because that might mean that it's nonsense.
McCrory.
Yes.
Oh,
Ross McCrory.
Well done.
It was at Hampden, wasn't it?
Yep.
I thought that. There we go. Celtic and St like, Mirren.
Two games in a row, was it? Or two games out of three, maybe. I think it might
be. I
don't
know. Aye. That's tomorrow's question. Aye. Anyway, thank you, Kenny Miller and Roger Hannah. And thank you for listening. Much appreciated. As always, very busy night in the phone, so apologies If you couldn't get through, don't forget, you can catch up on the show, the podcast, wherever you get your podcast, it will be there. You can also watch the show back now on YouTube. Please like and subscribe to the page as well. Facebook, Twitter, search for Clyde One SSB. We are back tomorrow with Gordon Dalziel and Jim Duffy, cranking up the build up to those League Cup quarterfinals as well. So it's a big week, a really big week in Scottish football. We look forward to it already. And in the meantime, you might as well stay right there, because Callum Gallagher is up next.